setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It is about you. This is not political talk radio. This is purposeful talk radio. We're talking about your contribution. Every man and woman that's ever lived on the face of the earth has at some point wrestled with the question, why am I here? What should I do with my life? And that's what we're taking on. We have a simple process where we help you get clear. The first stage in realizing your dream, working like no one else, giving yourself away. Get clear, then get qualified, then get connected, then get started, then get promoted, then get the dream job, to then work like no one else and give yourself away. Those are the seven stages. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get your dream job, give yourself away. What stage are you in? I'm here to walk alongside of you, to help you pull the answers that you do have, pull them out of you, and let's come up with action items, help you get from one stage to the next. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Somebody listening right now needs to call. I feel it. Call today, right now. Clarity is a call away. Let's start with Callie, who is in Kansas City. Callie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call and for what you do.
I
have your book and I love it.
Oh, thank you so much.
So I'm calling today because I am experiencing tremendous buildup and burnout in my pursuit of what I'm created to do.
Okay.
I've been able to narrow it down over the past couple of years as a couple of items that I might go after, but I'm seeing some blocks along each way, and now I'm kind of freezing up and not choosing any of them.
Okay.
So I'd kind of like to get a little bit of advice how to move forward with any of these items that I'm interested in.
All right. So give me the couple of directions, the couple of goals, the dream jobs, the areas that you're thinking about, and then I want you to tell me the roadblocks, what these roadblocks are. Describe them to me. But let's first start with where you want to go. Couple of options.
Okay, so I've got three options right now I'm looking at.
Great.
I looked into design fields, all the different design fields for some time, and I kind of ruled that out. So then, but I'm passionate about designing things, and I'm a creative person.
Okay.
I also I know that I would make a good counselor. I have life experiences and healings that I've done with myself, and I know that I could provide that service to others, and I feel like that would be a passionate thing in my life. There are roadblocks there as well.
Well, hold on. We'll get to those in a second, so keep going. Keep rolling. What's the third one?
All right. Well, thank you. The third item kind of relates to both design and counseling. It's a vision I've had for a decade. I have ideas of when someone's in pain, sometimes they look to affirmations to make them feel better. And I've designed in my mind and on paper products that I could offer that could help people. And I feel like that would be an amazing career path for me to choose.
Yeah. Can you give me one idea of one of these products?
Well, I'd go either like, I'd start off with, for example, a candle that has a certain feeling. Maybe somebody wants to go to this website and buy a present for their loved one that is hurting, and they go on and they pick a candle that says, like, it's got a quote. I can't think of it right now because I'm a little bit nervous. But,
no, I got you.
But I've designed the labels. I could do T-shirts. I really want to do T-shirts and candles and apothecary items.
Okay, great.
That people could purchase for themselves or for others, as you know, that would offer some kind of a, like a counseling and a leg up.
Yeah.
All right. Make them feel a little better.
I love that, by the way. That's really good. And I do think you're absolutely right. I think that third idea is not a separate idea. I think it's an extension of the other two. That's all it is.
It is an extension of the other two.
Yeah.
The roadblock I'm facing in that is that I'm in my 40s. I'm a single parent of two teenagers. I have a great job, but it doesn't pay much. And at the income level I'm at, you know, and I'm trying to be debt-free. I'm a couple dollars away from being completely debt-free. But
awesome.
In order to do this third thing of this online e-commerce business, I would need to invest in products and have merchandise ready mm-hmm. for those potential sales. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel like I can invest that kind of money when yeah. I don't make a large income anyway.
Well, but is it possible that you might be thinking too big with all of these products and you're thinking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and all the investment to get these products and warehouse them and then deliver them? Are you thinking about designing a website and all the things instead of just going, you know what, I'm going to find somebody locally who makes some candles. And I'm going to slap a design quote on them, and I'm going to do this and this, and I'm going to just see if I can do 50 or 20, starting really small okay. and start selling these things. Is it possible you're thinking way too big instead of just thinking small and dipping your toe in the water?
That is definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
I'm also considering the fact that the margins are not large.
They're not.
And I do need to be able to yeah. raise my income. I'm currently feeding my family off $30,000, right. I need to. So I've considered lateral moves as well after yeah. reading the proximity principle.
There you go.
I've been going on job interviews before COVID hit, yep. taking a look at lateral moves to maybe raise my income a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple things you can do. Yeah. I think you could try to not just
have a great job, and then I'm going to leave that for
okay. us. All right. So here's the deal. You're close to being debt free. That's going to change your life significantly. And then you're going to be able to move into baby step three, Dave Ramsey's baby steps, and you're going to be able to put 3 to 6 months in the bank, and that's going to give you some margin and some breathing room. And I think there's a couple options. I think one is certainly seeing if you can get a different job, a better job that pays you more. Certainly need to look into that. It doesn't mean you have to do it, Callie. It just means it doesn't hurt to look, and let's just see if we can find another great place that actually pays you more money. The other option is to actually, instead of starting your side hustle right away in any kind of major way, what if you did some design work on the side for somebody else? What if you took on a part-time job doing some type of design work? Now, we've got two things happening. A, you're making more money. B, you're doing work that you really, really enjoy and kind of getting the juices flowing, okay? That could then lead to, could you save up money over a 2 to 3 year calendar time and pay for the counseling degree? Now, all of a sudden, you can get yourself in a 2 to 3, 4 year period. If you can cash flow your way through it, taking some classes, what would it cost you to cash flow your way through counseling degree and get into counseling and actually make more money? And then down the road, as you have your own successful counseling business, you have some products that just because they're low margin, doesn't really matter. It's a passion play now. And you're selling that to clients and their families and so forth and so on. So I just think there's a lot of ways you can go with this. And I want you to take your mind and get it off of the big giant investment and all of that and just go, what are all the different ways that I can begin to move into design that would maybe set me up to do counseling? See, that's where I would go, because that's your skill set. Those are the tools you use to move forward. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, we are all created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed, and it means that you must do it. I know that trying to land that dream job is not easy, because I've been there. It's intimidating, it's scary, there's a lot of doubt, but I can tell you it was worth it, because there's nothing like the joy that comes from doing work that you know you were put on this earth to do. So if you're ready to get there too, I want you to go to kencoleman.com. There you're going to find 3 free resources, all designed to give you confidence and make your job search very effective. The Get Hired Guides include the Resume Guide, the Interview Guide, and the Interview Follow-Up Guide. The Resume Guide is going to help you fix your resume. Flip it. It's going to look like nobody else's resume, and that's going to help you get noticed and land the interview. The Interview Guide walks you through the 5 strategies that'll help you stand out in the process. And finally, the Interview Follow-Up Guide gives you a timeline and exactly what to do to follow up to continue to stand out post-interview. You can get all three guides free at kencoleman.com. Go to kencoleman.com and get hired. Emma is on the line in Lincoln, Nebraska. Emma, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How's it going?
Emma, I am living the dream. What is going on with you?
So I am currently at a job that I love what I do, and my direct supervisor is amazing. We are a team of two, and so we've really built a bond, and he is an incredible leader. But the culture at our company is not ideal. It's really starting to affect kind of my mental health and ability to function well at work. So I've been on the job search a little bit. My boss knows he is kind of on the job search as well, too, but neither one of us has found anything yet. Mm-hmm. Well, I came across a company in a position that I feel like could really be my sweet spot. It sounds perfect for me.
Uh-huh.
And found out that my boss actually has a connection at this company. So my question is, would it be crossing the line or inappropriate in any way to ask him to reach out to that connection or to give me a reference for that job?
I don't think so, based on the fact that it sounds like you guys have a great working and personal relationship, correct?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, he's looking too.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think it's over the line at all.
Okay.
What I mean? I think it would be different if he was staying. Yeah. But
yeah.
even then, if he had a great relationship, and he does with you, and he's like, I get why you're leaving. Of course I want to help you. So yeah, I think you guys are partners in crime here in the sense of trying to get out of there. And I'm totally fine with you asking. That's the way to go. That's awesome. Yes, that is a no-brainer. Perfect. And by the way, when you ask, say, hey, how can I shake the relationship tree for you? You know what I mean? So think, try to be active just to do him a solid, and thinking through maybe some people you know that know some people that know some people, or however it goes. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. I'll get back to the phones in just a moment, but I want to read this. Every week on Friday, Joe and Catherine, they give me a report here that's printed out on the studio desk. And it's just some fun highlights from social media where people post things and they post their progress. And I love this. So I'm going to read this really quick. Lauren G. On Instagram shared this message. She said, hey, Ken, I started reading your book, The Proximity Principle, recently, and today I had an aha moment. I was reading in chapter number 7 about how to start from where I am, but I was discouraged because I'm a storyteller living way far away from big name film studios. The next thing I know, I turn the page and I read about Brad, who you wrote about, who wanted to be in the film business. I follow the advice you gave him. I search for production studios near me, and surprise, surprise, there are several. I will research them soon, and I will be one step closer to my dream job. She said, P.S., per the advice on your show, I've been able to get in proximity to professionals in the film business through online courses, social media, and podcasts. I'm learning a lot and practicing as much as I can. One day, I hope to direct one of my own scripts. That's awesome. Way to go, Lauren G. Way to go. She is acting on something she read. Which, by the way, that Brad story that she read, that was a caller on the show. As I recall, Charlotte, North Carolina. Thought, man, I've always wanted to get into film work and TV and I've done some of it before I got married. Now I'm married. I got three kids. And I said, how many production companies are in Charlotte, North Carolina? And he chuckled and said, well, probably 20 or 30. I go, yeah, well, start getting in proximity to those people in those places. This is a great time to remind you, The Proximity Principle, the number one best-selling book that Lauren G's talking about. It is super practical. It's not just this inspirational tome. This is a practical book with a lot of great practical homework at the end of each chapter. We've got the number one best-selling book at a crazy price. You can get the autographed hard copy, the ebook, and the audiobook, all three formats, $25. That's a $35 savings. And the only place you can get all three formats is at kencoleman.com. Click on the store. All right, back to the phones we go. Vancouver, Canada. James is there. James, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You bet, James. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, I recently completed my degree, and I just kind of battled it out. I'm debt-free, so I paid for all the classes on my own. And, well, at the same time, I have a chronic illness.
Okay.
So I have studied flashcards in the hospital. I've, gone from tests to be hooked up to, different machines and all kinds of things. And this has taught me a lot about compassion for others, heart, goal setting, determination.
Mm-hmm.
So my question really is, how do I communicate my strengths to potential employers?
Mm-hmm. Well,
they seem to be looking for specific, like, technical skills or specific experience. So mm-hmm. I was just wondering, how can I include my sort of unique experience?
Well, I would just involve it in the description of what they're looking for. You understand? So if they're saying we need this technical skill and we need this kind of experience, and that's something that you're going to have to get. And if you've already got it, then you're going, okay, I've got this skill set. I've got this mm-hmm. experience. But, oh, by the way, I'm also extremely compassionate. I am very empathetic. I am a very patient, what all the different character traits and personality traits, those are what we would call soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
And those absolutely make a difference in the workplace. So if you're talking about the Ken Coleman Show resume guide, which I hope you are, and we have a template, there is a very clear section in the resume guide. Okay. Why I want to be here, the value that I offer, those two areas, that's where you take those life experiences that you have acquired and, quite frankly, skills that you've acquired because of those experiences with the chronic illness. That's where you outline that stuff. So give them the relevant information and then understand that those skills you're talking about that you just outlined, those are relevant, and put them in there. This is how this makes me better at this skill because of the soft skill that I bring. And this is what I bring to the workplace for the customer and with the team. And you just lay it out there. 844-747-2577. Queen Creek, Arizona is where we go next. Cameron is there. Cameron, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going? I thought I'd call in. I'm very new to your show. I thought I'd call in. It seems like you have the magic touch. You have the answer to everyone. Problem. So
I don't have the magic touch.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the confidence. The what I do have is the ability to ask you questions, and you do have the answers. So let's figure out what you're trying to figure out. What's going on?
So yeah, I'm 24 years old. I have a full time job. I work in pest control. I have a side gig. I do wedding videography, some film work, and. Between the both of them, I'm making about $80,000 a year.
Wow.
And, it's exciting. And the problem, the wedding videography is still slow. It's on the startup. I'm making about $20,000 right there.
Yeah.
So what I want to do in the future, and it's a dream of mine that I've had for a very long time, is to own and operate my own wedding venue.
Awesome.
Or event venue. And I know that's the end goal, and the kind of lame answer in how I get there is ultimately saving enough money to buy some land and throw a wedding venue on it. But I'm stuck in this transition where I want to at least get some experience. I want to learn the industry.
Yeah.
I want to kind of know the ins and outs of it. I've gotten a chance to talk to a lot of venue owners through my wedding videography business.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about it, but it seems like every time I kind of reach out to wedding venues in my area, they're kind of, family owned or they're fully staffed. I don't really get the time of day.
I've got a solution. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to, keep checking those companies out, those websites, or talking to them, staying in touch with them, and let them know, hey, if you have a part-time position open up, I'm in. I'll find a way. Okay. If you have a full-time position, of course I want to do it. You just have to stay on their mind. And I almost wonder, since you've got a good paying job, the pest control, you're making really good money. I think the key for you is actually to volunteer, family owned. Just go, hey, I want to be you one day. I'll volunteer. I'll work 5 weddings a month or whatever. They're not going to say no to that. Free help always works. The Ken Coleman Show continues, bringing you clarity so that you can confidently step forward on the path to your purpose. There are seven stages. What stage are you in? Get clear, get qualified, getting connected, getting started, getting promoted, getting the dream job, so you can give yourself away. By the way, if you're making progress to the point that you're close to stepping into your dream job, or you have stepped into your dream job in the recent months or year, we'd love for you to email the show, ask@kencoleman.com. We'd love for you to call in, do a dream screen. People want to hear from you. They want to hear from you. And one of the ways that you get started on the journey is get clear. That's stage one. And we've got a brand new free resource called Career Clarity Guide. It's the Career Clarity Guide, and it walks you through those three indicators that you hear me talk about on the air with callers. What do you do best? What's your talent? What do you love to do most? What's your passion? What results matter most to you? What's your mission? It'll walk you through this, and it actually, for some of you who want to call in, it'll really help you get more confident because of this worksheet exercise. It's super simple, and it's free. Go to kencoleman.com/clarity, or it's on our resources page, kencoleman.com/clarity, or it's on our resource page at kencoleman.com. All right, Cody is up next in Bellingham, Washington. Cody, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I am living the dream, Cody. What's up?
So I got clear about a month ago, and I want to first thank you for that.
Sure. Awesome.
My goal is to create a pay it forward program, and I'm just more curious about if that's more of a nonprofit or going a different route to make it happen.
Could be both. What do you think so far? What are you feeling? Have you done research on both for profit, nonprofit options?
I'm feeling starting first is going to be closer to not a nonprofit quite yet, but down the road it could easily become that.
Yeah.
But being a servant and helping others and also just bring a lot more positivity into the world, I think the world could use it, and I feel called to do that.
Great. How are you going to do it? What is the venture?
The venture will start off by, it could really be anything, but starting with a blog, social media, but cleaning up neighborhoods, finding families that could use help with maybe donating money, things like that. And I also have a photo project to go along with that to help support. But it's going to be a big note of just bringing stories of positivity and how people does a lot more good in the world.
Yeah. So your revenue model is, and I don't hear a revenue model. So from that standpoint, maybe you do need to go nonprofit out of the gate because you're going to rely on donations and charitable donations in that regard, and people giving in kind services. And that's obviously a tax. Really, the difference between, if the simplest way to delineate between a for profit nonprofit, you got to have profit. You got to have money in both, or you have to shut your doors. It's just the not-for-profit has the tax benefits, and you got things like that. And so as you get started into this thing, until you have a real revenue model, I don't know that I would try to structure it as a for-profit, because I'm not hearing where you're going to actually offer a product or service and then get paid for it. Am I right?
Right.
So it's not for-profit.
Yeah, I was planning on going to churches and talking about what I plan on doing and hopefully get donations starting off through there.
Okay. So, I think you should set it up as a nonprofit when it's time. Right now, I don't even think it's time to do that. I think you have to test the model. And before you go to churches or individuals and ask them for money, Cody, my advice is to show your work first. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who want to do good, and I love your vision and I love your heart. However, even though you're asking for charitable donations, people want to see an ROI, return on investment. And so before you start asking for money, I think you've got to get out there with some friends or maybe just you, and you get out there and hustle and start volunteering and do the things you want to do. It's a form of testing your ideas and seeing how they're received. What do you learn in the process? And then you've got to show some wins, some actual victories. Got to show some results, and you got to document this, before you start asking for money, because people want to see what you've done. They want to see what you're doing. They want to know how you're doing it before they're going to give you money. So you're in the early stages, which is awesome, and I'm really proud of you. Get out there and start doing some stuff and document it. Document the results before you ask for money. 844-747-2577. Arnold is up next in Bakersfield, California. Arnold, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
I'm living the dream, Arnold. What's up?
Well, sir, I have a question, naturally. That's what I called. I completed the Career Clarity Guide this morning.
Oh, good.
To try and kind of help me gather my thoughts a little. But
okay.
Essentially, at the moment, I feel like I have an amazing job, and I do enjoy coming to work. I don't feel like that's my problem. I think, you know, I do part-time military as well. I'm in the Air National Guard, so I do that once a month. And for the past few years, I've just kind of been flopping back and forth between military and civilian jobs, and I just never feel very fulfilled, or I...
So what's your question?
You know, I guess I just want some guidance on what...
Okay. So the good news is you like your current job. You like it. So you're not in a miserable situation. So you've got a really good base to be able to then now build on and eventually step off of into the future. So when you did the Career Clarity Guide, what did you come up with when it came to, we'll skip ahead since you know what your talent is and your hopefully your passion and mission, you filled it out. So the type of work that you really, really love, what did you write down? What did you come up with?
I think that was the hardest part. I think part of my problem is I really enjoy a lot of different things. I really enjoy...
Okay, but that's not a problem. So let's focus on the things you enjoy most, right? So if you enjoy a lot,
right,
then there's probably some sevens in there, and there's probably some eights and nines and tens. What are your eights, nines, and tens? The things that you really enjoy more than most things. Like you really, really love it. If you could only do these three or four things, what is it?
I mean, I love learning new things. I love... whether that be learning a new language or learning a new skill,
okay,
or
give me a type of skill. So we're talking about work you love, okay? We're talking about a role, a function that you fill in the workplace.
Right.
Tell me those things at the top of the list. How do you can't? I mean, if you love learning things on the job, what kind of things do you love learning and then doing? What are we talking about?
Oh, I guess I love being part of a team,
okay,
and helping to lead that team to achieve a goal.
Okay.
And, I mean, in the process, I feel like a lot of learning has to happen as far
as... Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then what are the results that matter most to you? What'd you write down? If passion, the work you love, was the hardest thing, what'd you write down for results that matter most? People you want to help, problem you want to solve, solution you want to provide. What'd you write down?
I wrote down a few things. I think the two biggest ones for me is... I have family that are from Central America, and their situation's pretty bad down there. And my mother immigrated up here when she was young. And
okay.
In my head, the problem is I want to be able to help people that are in situations like that have a clear path on how they can, if they want to come here, obviously get citizenship or...
Okay, so you'd love to help immigrants.
You know,
that's who you would most love to help.
I think so.
Okay, great. That's the clarity to hold on to right now, okay? So I want you to do a couple things. As I know, it's nerve-wracking on the show, so I don't want to push you anymore to try to come up with it, but here's the deal. Start there. You know that you would love to help people make it to America and pursue their dream, all right? So I want you to now do your homework, and I want you to do some research. You said you love learning. Learn all the ways that people can get to the States, all the challenges that people have when trying to get here, and all of the resources out there made available to help those folks, whether it be government or non-governmental sources, private sector. Now, what skills and work that you love to do fit into those options? This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get unstuck and on purpose in your work. All it matters, folks. Living life for the weekend is no way to do this life. You know there's so much more. And it all comes down to your contribution. You use what you do best, your talent, to do what you love to do most, passion, to create, to produce results that matter most to you. That's your mission. What do you want your work to do? What do you want the contribution of your work to be? That's the mission. And that's an on-purpose person who is in their sweet spot. That's the intersection, all three. They have to come together. You use what you do best to perform work you love, to produce results that matter to you in the marketplace. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Corbin, Kentucky. Jonathan is there. Jonathan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You bet. What's up?
Well, I just recently took your Should I Quit My Job quiz, and it told me, or it confirmed exactly what my gut had been telling me, that I am in the wrong role, but the right place. So I've been keeping my eye out, even before I took the quiz, been keeping my eye out for some job postings within the organization for maybe 6 months or so now. And one popped up the end of January that was exactly in my sweet spot, which was I have a passion for serving people, and I have a skill with data analysis, number crunching, and so it was a data analyst position here in the hospital that I'm working for that would have allowed me to provide data to our management and to help them better care for patients within the hospital. So it came open, and I applied for it immediately, and then the COVID crisis hit. And so I was furloughed for a couple months from the position that I'm currently in, and I got back and found out that they don't plan on hiring for the data analyst position any longer, at least for the foreseeable future. So being that I know I'm in the wrong role, and I know I'm in the right place, how long do you recommend staying put here in this role before I start to look externally at other positions elsewhere?
You know, I'd start looking externally now. Doesn't mean you're going to leave, but I wouldn't wait any longer, because what's happened now is you've truly found and identified at least one role that you know is in your sweet spot. And I would also encourage you that while you're looking externally, keep looking internally at other positions that, while they may not be available, they also fit the description of being in your sweet spot. Do you understand what I'm saying? So
yes, I do.
Let's get our head on a swivel. The good news is you're in a great place. You're in a great hospital. You like the culture. So you're really okay there. So that will afford you a much easier journey of being patient until the right thing pops, okay? So look externally for more data analyst roles. Look externally for other roles that may not say data analyst, but are still very similar. Look for multiple roles externally and internally that are close enough to that data analyst role to where you like go, okay, there are multiple things I could do in my sweet spot, and you can. So I would just be looking, looking, both internally and externally. And you know what? As it is relevant and appropriate, I would, you know, be meeting with people in the hospital, both the current hospital you're at and maybe other hospitals or other medical centers or whatever, and just letting people know, I'm looking for this kind of role. Keep me in mind. That's the proximity principle. Start hanging around people that are doing that role. Hang around people that are hiring that role. Okay, that's the producer, right? And the peer from my book, The Proximity Principle. So if you're doing that, Jonathan, the right thing is going to present itself, and you're going to be ready, because you have been looking, and you have been communicating, and you have been connecting. So that's how you do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fun. That is really fun. Folks, listen, that's how that works. That's how the proximity principle works. He knows he'd love to be a data analyst, so he needs to start hanging out with other people that do that work. He also needs to find personal connections, whether it be family, friends, or acquaintances, to producers. Now, this is the archetype in the book, The Proximity Principle, who are data analyst or senior data analyst, or they manage and lead data analysts. That's who he needs to be hanging out with. So they go, oh, Jonathan can do this. He wants to do it. If I have an opening, I'm going to think of Jonathan right out of the gate because he's been connecting on purpose. It works, folks. You just have to stay with it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Let's go to St. Louis, Missouri. Megan is there. Megan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
Megan, I'm living the dream. What's going on with you?
I'm doing okay. So currently I'm a restaurant manager, but I want to get into the event planning field. I've been listening to your show quite a bit, and so I think that's what kind of more of my passion is.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been trying to get some connections because I know that's kind of like the next step. But I was also looking at jobs, and there's not a lot out there right now.
Yeah.
But then my other two-parter question is, I didn't know if you would recommend, if you think my skills are transferable from restaurant manager to event planning, or if you think I should do like a volunteer internship kind of gig in the meantime.
Well, I think that it's yes and yes is my answer. There's no question that you managing a restaurant is transferable, you know, because a manager of a restaurant is not just responsible for quick and good service. It's also environment, right? We want it to look nice. You have some experience on at least, you know, some type of environment. It depends on the type of restaurant you work at, but you certainly understand ambiance, right? Beyond just service. And so you also understand logistics. The way that the cooks and the waiters and the busboys or the hosts, you know, it's all a team. Everybody's got a role. And event planning is the same way. If you've got audiovisual, you know, the production people, then you've got the decorations, and then you got the catering, you got all these pieces. So, yeah, it makes you absolutely qualified. You should be really confident in that. And then the second thing is, yes, because the event business right now is still kind of stalled or sputtering because, you know, people are slowly opening up and, you know, consumer confidence around events still yet to be seen where we stand. So, yeah, if you can volunteer an intern in the time being while still being at the restaurant, yes, that's a great way for you to get connections. I mean, I wrote about that in the Proximity Principle, and Megan, it was a huge, huge deal for me because it's very hard to get on the air. But when I volunteered to come in and screen phone calls and do research for the radio host, it's almost impossible to turn that down unless you have four eyeballs, you know, and you just seem like a weirdo, and you're not. So I love that idea. I think it'll be great experience and great connections. It's absolutely the Proximity Principle in display. So, yes.
Okay. I just worried about, like, even doing that is going to be, like, a lot of time as a restaurant manager. We just have weird hours and we work a lot. So
that's true.
I'm just worrying about as I transition, I might have to get like, even in this weird time, I'm totally okay getting a part-time job and like doing it. I'm just nervous about like kind of what the right volunteer thing is and stuff like that. But I guess that's just researching.
It is. It is. And it's just you talking to people, right? Before you volunteer, maybe get to know some people and do some research on those companies, those event companies, and find out if it's actually a place you'd want to volunteer with. And then you're right. If financially you can do that and move to a part-time job, that's fine. But here's the deal. Who says you have to volunteer 15, 20 hours a week? So let's say you work as a restaurant manager. I'm guessing you're in that 40 to 50 hour range a week. Is that right?
Yeah, it's about 46 to 50.
Yeah, I figured. Okay. So realistically, let's say you stay in that. Let's answer this based on your current hours. Without exhausting yourself, how many hours do you think you could volunteer if I made a phone call right now in St. Louis at an event place and I said, hey, I want you to allow my friend Megan to volunteer for you. She has X amount of hours she can give to you. How many would you give?
I would probably say 15, 20 hours.
With your current schedule?
Yes.
Great. That's enough. So, Megan, I don't necessarily think you need to take a part-time job to be able to volunteer. If you just did 5 to 10, still getting you experience, still getting you connections. So that's what I'd like to see you do.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Listen, you can do both. You can still work full-time and still volunteer. You don't have to. It's not about the amount of time you're volunteering. It's just the fact that you're volunteering to get experience and connection. So, yeah, Megan, you're awesome. Go. That's great. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Cody in Cincinnati, Ohio. Cody, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am living the dream, Cody. What's up?
I am calling to see if I should try and open up a coffee shop that I've been working on for a few years. Well, I ask because I'm getting ready to move to Australia as soon as the borders open.
Okay. So you're talking about opening up the coffee shop in Australia?
Starting it right now to earn some extra money.
Oh. Do you have the money to be able to lease a shop? Do you have all the equipment that you need to make the coffee? You got the furniture already paid for? And if the answer is no to any or all of those, do you have the money set aside to be able to do all that?
I was planning on starting out on a coffee bike, and I have the espresso machine and grinder and everything like that, and just going to small venues right now.
Okay, so you have the equipment, and it sits on your bicycle?
It's a tricycle.
Oh, it's a tricycle.
Made.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And so you've got everything you need. Give me an example of how much money you can make in an hour on that thing.
I'm more than I make right now. I work at a coffee shop right now and have loved it, and that's why I want to open up my own coffee shop.
So how much? You didn't answer my question. Give me a ballpark. If let's say you come up to a busy street festival, which I don't know if that exists right now, coming out of COVID, but let's say you get to a place and we're foot traffic, how much money have you made? Have you done this? Have you experimented? Or is this just a brand new purchase and you've never done it?
It would be a brand new purchase and I've never done it.
Oh, okay. And you're not making a whole lot of money right now. How much money are you trying to make with this business so that you can go to Australia?
As much as possible. It's an interesting situation since I'm going there to be with my girlfriend for a year, and then we're both moving back here for a year to figure out where it would be best for both of us.
Okay, so how much money are you trying to earn?
At $20,000.
By which date?
December.
December?
Yeah.
Man, I got to tell you, I don't know if this is the right move for you. How much money are you going to have to spend to buy the tricycle and all the stuff?
The tricycle is just over $2,000.
Do you have that in cash right now?
I do.
How much total cash do you have saved?
Right now I have about $6,000.
And you're trying to make 20 more so that you have 26? When it's time to go to Australia?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you run the numbers, so that's December. I'm guessing 1st of December. So we've got really, June is kind of done. We've got July, August, September, October, November. We got 5 months. That means you're going to have to make $4,000 net per month. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I say we'll save the idea and take it with you to Australia then. Maybe ship the bike or buy the bike in Australia and launch that in Australia. I think for you, this is, I'm working 2 and 3 jobs. I don't need to start a prospective business right now on a tricycle with coffee, which I think is a super cool, novel idea. I really do. And I know you love coffee, but you need to make net $4,000 a month over the next 5 months. And this is too risky. This is going to put you behind the eight ball. Just, hey, it's a super cool idea. Be patient. Save it. Try it in Australia when you get there for a year. It's a great place to try that idea. Don't do it now. Go get as much work as you can. Let's make the $20,000 because you can make the $20,000. I know you can. I know you can net $4,000 a month. You're delivering pizzas. You're cutting lawns. You know, you're pressure washing driveways. I don't care what you're doing. You're stocking grocery shelves at night. You want to go to Australia. You need that money. Go work. With guaranteed, I know I'm going to get this much per hour or I'm going to get this kind of commission, and that's going to put you in a much better situation. So really appreciate the call. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Joe? Now, I can tell you right now, in my neighborhood, That'd be a good little business to try. Rolling up there in a little village area and you got your tricycle and your little coffee maker. That's pretty cool. But we're not going to launch that to try to make 20 grand in 4 months. That's not a good idea. And that's the difference. Our time's almost up. But before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.